Okay, Ron Van Dam may not be the prettiest face in radio, but come on, that voice, am I right? You are listening to Ron Van Dam, the sexiest voice in podcasting on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, it's old sexy voice.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It's the Sexy Voice Show. I'm Sexy Voice. Who are you? Hey, Sexy Voice counts. I'm telling you, when you're having the big time, the lights go out and it's the voice that matters. Yeah, me and Barry White. I did my Barry White impression a couple of weeks ago, and I think I turned a lot of people on by mistake. Oh, baby, I love to love you, baby. You're going to come over to me, baby. I love you, baby. Oh, now you got to say the way you move, the way you rave. Couldn't understand a word Barry White was saying, but that voice, wow. Yeah. It's funny. It's not really that funny, but it's funny. When I was growing up, they had tape recorders. Oh, Ron, what was that, 1623? What was the tape recorders? What the hell is that? Yeah, and people used to hear their voice, and they used to say, that doesn't sound like me. Yeah, it wasn't you. It was a tape recorder. It sounded horrible. But now when people hear their voices, they still say, that's not me. That's not my voice. Oh, it is. Oh, it is. Oh, it is. Oh, it is. It's like the pictures, you know? It's like selfies, you know? I just took a picture of myself with my own hand, but that doesn't look like me. You took the picture. So they invented this Snapchat, CapChat, or whatever the thing is called, where you can, apparently that's the thing where you can superimpose dog ears on your face, and who doesn't want to do that? But you can also pretty yourself up. In most of these photo app things, there's you can fix your face. You can actually fix your face, which is wonderful if you never meet anybody in person. But otherwise, it's like, hey, that doesn't look like me, or does it? I'll tell you, I knew, you know the phrase, the only thing that doesn't change is change itself, something like that, where you can only depend on one thing, and that's change. Everything changes. Always, all the time. Nothing stays the same, not even you. And it came very clear to me. I lived in Rochester, New York for 2 years. It was a prison sentence. And no, it wasn't. It was. I moved up there on purpose because I thought Rochester, New York would be a wonderful place. And it was, except when the winters came, not so much. In Rochester, it was the corporate headquarters of Kodak. And everybody who lived in Rochester, New York, worked for Kodak. It was the law. It was pretty much it. Everybody worked for Kodak. Kodak had these gigantic series of buildings just off the downtown area, off the Genesee River. And it was very impressive. Everybody worked for Kodak. Everybody. The squirrels worked for Kodak. Everybody worked for Kodak, but me, I did not. That's an exaggeration, but the majority of people lived in Rochester, New York, worked for Kodak. And they even had Kodak Moments and Kodachrome, and that was a song. I mean, Kodak was what you referred to when you talked about taking pictures on your own. It was Kodak. It was Kodak and Polaroid, and Kodak was like way ahead of it. Since then, Kodak and Polaroid out of business. Yeah, you may see some products with their brand name on it. They're just using the name. These companies are not in business anymore. They went under. And that shook up Rochester. I'll tell you, that kind of did it in for them. Same with, remember Xerox? Xerox had a gigantic headquarters in Rochester, New York. A gigantic building. Right off the Genesee River. Everything was off the Genesee River. Everything. Everybody was spawned in the Genesee River up there. Xerox, another company where you wouldn't say, can you make a copy of that for me? You would say, can you make a Xerox for me? That's how prominent that company was. Is Xerox still around? I don't think so. I don't know. It might be. We don't hear about it. It's like Trump. Is Trump still around? I don't know. I'm not hearing about him anymore. What an emancipation that was. I mean, Lincoln freed the slaves, and this country just freed me from anxiety. Man, I'm in the news business. I listen to the news every day, too much of, and intricately as well. And I have for 30 years because of what I do here on the radio. So I'm like stuck in news. And this past 4 years has been traumatic for me. It just has. I've just watched things just go bad for 4 years straight. Yesterday, oh my God, it was like someone had just pumped fresh air into my lungs. The anxiety, little tinges of anxiety. How about you? Let's be honest about this. Let's be honest. Half of the country had anxiety. Hidden, not talked about, but half of the country was getting very depressed and very isolated and anxious. What's next? What horrible thing is next? And then the pandemia show came around, and it was, oh, that's next? Oh, God. Perfect storm. Awful. And the anxiety ticked up, you know? Yesterday, I could breathe. I mentally could breathe again. And I don't think I care if you're Republican or Democrat. I don't think. But everybody should have just breathed a little sigh of relief. As far as the personality of the guy in the White House, Trump, not necessarily his policies, although they freaked me out, but it was just the demeanor. What do you tell your children? Don't be like him. Oh, my God. Fresh air, man, mind clear, wonderful. A lot of stuff still going on, but at least I can breathe again. Thank you. Because I don't know how much longer, man. That was crazy. There was a British newspaper. I don't remember which one it was. The Daily Mirror, the Don't Look in the Mirror, the London Times. I have no idea. And the headline, and I don't know exactly what the headline was because I don't do research or preparation for this show anymore whatsoever. So what, that's not obvious to you? You couldn't tell that? You thought I rehearsed this? What the hell's wrong with you? I thought that was obvious. The headline was something to the effect, well, well, that was a horrible nightmare. That was an interesting nightmare. Something like that. That was the headline. They despised Trump in England. They despised him. They're considering still a travel ban on private citizen Trump to ever going to England. Apparently, his Scottish country club, which I guess Trump owns or something, they're not even going to let him visit his own club. I mean, anyway, I don't think I have to talk about him anymore. I have a file, an extensive, you wouldn't believe it. I have an extensive file of well over 100 audio quotes from Trump that I could play for you right now. Maybe someday it'll be entertaining. Right now it's still a little too soon. Is it too soon? Yes, it is. It's still a little too fresh. I have well over 100 of these audio clips. I'm going to move them from my show audio computer and have my people do it. I have people for that. And have them move it to a file and just put it away somewhere. I'm not going to talk about him anymore. I'm not even going to utter his name. I am not going to utter his name after today at all. I will refer to him as the horrible nightmare. And that'll be it. And that'll be the end of it. And I hope you do the same no matter what side of the aisle you're on. It's an aisle now, you know. We're divided by an aisle. More like an island. Anyway, Godspeed to help us come out of this and to get this pandemic, A, under the control, and B, inconsequential at some point, because the sooner we can all get back to our lives and our virtual reality and normality, things will start blossoming and being beautiful. And there you go. That's my glimmer of hope that I am traveling on the road at this time. Okay, thank you so much for listening to that part of the show. Yesterday was all Biden all the time. It was the inauguration. There was nothing else on television. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. A point, a little much, a little much. It's like you're doing a commercial for the country. I do live here. I do love it. You don't have to convince me of that. But the message, overriding message yesterday was unity. One of the most touching things that I saw was the final recognition of the over 400,000 people that have died from this virus. It had never been discussed. We just saw numbers up on a screen on a daily basis, but it was never regarded as the tragedy and loss that it incredibly is. That was about time to see that recognition. But the other thing was all the prior presidents, except for Jimmy Carter, who is, as you know, is almost pushing 100 years old, I believe. Shouldn't be traveling, but the rest of the presidents were there. The remaining living presidents, of course, be Obama, the most recent Bush, and of course Clinton. And it was just incredible. I mean, just to see them talking. And as you know, the Bush family and the Obama family are actually very, very close and communicate all the time. And there's love and compassion between these people, even though, as far as ideals are concerned, they're not on the same page all the time. But there is a respect, a love, and understanding that was so, so moving and such a great driving method to drive that point home about unity. A good deal, just a very good deal yesterday. But that's over. The pomp and the circumstances are over. And it's time to make things back to normal plus better in a quick fashion. And if anybody can do it, it's a man like Biden who has more experience than anybody in the room. Anybody in the room. If anybody knows how to do stuff, and has the experience to do it, it's that guy. So we turn it over to you. And let's see. Let's take that ball and run with it. With the things that benefit everybody. And that would be the defeating the virus and getting it under control. That would be something that benefits everybody. Okay. That's, well, Ron, this is supposed to be a comedy show. I know, but every once in a while, you know, you got to be real about it. Hey, the Powerball was won yesterday. Talked about it on yesterday's show. The Mega Millions was up to $970 million. That's real close to the billion-dollar mark. And the Powerball was hugging $730 million. Well, somebody yesterday won that freaking Powerball to the tune of $731 million. I don't believe the person has come forward because they probably passed out from excitement. And by the way, if you win publicly $730 million and everybody knows your name, you better get an attorney and a security team really fast because, man, your life has just turned to total crap. Congratulations on all your money. And they always say, oh, if I won that, life would never be the same. Yeah, it won't be. You're doomed, baby. Do not win that kind of money. Not in today's society. No, 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 no. You better move to some other country or something where that won't even work, man. They'll find you. Oh, God. You think you're getting telemarketing calls now? Whoa, baby. You better, first thing you do, change your phone number. Holy crap, man. It's gonna cost about $730 million for the security you're going to need to keep your family safe at this point. Oh, my God. Oh, God. I don't know. It's a lot of money. Too much. It's too much money. I don't need that. Who needs that? Yeah. Who needs that? But anyway, who won the $731 million in the Powerball? I have an answer for you. It wasn't you. That's all you need to know. Who cares? We always hope it was some homeless person. And they do buy lottery tickets, I guess. Lottery tickets and alcohol, they do. And smokes. And that wasn't really all that funny. I hope someone like that won. But on the other hand, I hope nobody won because it is a curse. It is a curse of the high payoff lottery. It is a curse. First of all, you're not going to win $730 million. That doesn't go in the pocket or under the mattress. That goes to the government. At least half of it goes to the government. When you earn that kind of money, you ain't walking away with $1 billion. Half a billion, perhaps. Oh, well, then what's the point? Okay, fine. You know, we would all gladly pay our taxes. I mentioned this like 10 years ago. I remember mentioning this. We would all happily go through tax season. Happily. If everybody who filed for taxes, which it has to be everybody if you have a job or have an income, everybody is automatically entered in the national lottery, the national taxpayers lottery. And once a year, from all the filings, the government picks five winners. Let's say five, or let's say 100. 100 winners who win $200,000 apiece. Yeah, it doesn't have to be billions. $200,000 apiece. They choose 100 winners every year. So you could be a winner. Chances of you winning that or being struck by lightning wins. But at the same time, they're putting excitement and chance, into paying taxes or filing taxes, let's say. That makes sense, doesn't it? We have state lotteries. State lotteries, ladies and gentlemen. Massachusetts has a state lottery, the most successful in the country. And in the lottery, in the advertising for it, they say if you have a gambling problem, please contact this number. You caused the gambling problem. They do that in Vegas. If you have a gambling problem, call this number immediately. You caused the problem. It's true. So what's wrong with the federal government? You don't, as long as you don't have to pay the government to enter the lottery, which should be illegal, if the government just gives away a certain amount of money to taxpayer drawing winners, that would be fine. That would be fine. Let's do that. Contact your, make believe it's your idea. I don't care. I don't get a prize for this. Make believe it's your idea. Call your state rep or your whatever person there, your senator or whatever the hell, you know, and tell them it's called the Ron Van Dam theory of making people excited to file their taxes. We can call it the Ron Van Dam Act or the Sexy Voice Act, whatever you'd like. I mean, give me a little credit, okay? Give me a little credit. All right, make me the first winner. How about that? How about that? But I think that's an excellent idea. You know, doing this show for so, I've come up with so many wonderful ideas that I never put into practice or told anybody but you about it. And the reason is I am so freaking lazy. It's unbelievable. And I didn't get lazier as I got older. I remained lazy since a child. My parents used to say, Ron, it's a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Why don't you go out and play? I don't know. I'm getting to be 6 years old and I'm getting, I don't have the energy anymore. Ron, you're 6 years old and you don't have the energy anymore? Yeah, when I was four, I remember, I said, but I'm turning six, man. I'm going to stay in my room and just sit in the chair and, yeah, that's my whole life like that, so so I'm lazy, man. I'm an idea man. I come up with the ideas, but I do not have the energy to carry them out properly. I just don't. That's where you come in. But I need to share in the profits, don't you understand? Don't you understand? Apparently you don't. Apparently you don't understand. All right. We do have a guest coming up on today's show. I don't know if there's time for our guest now. What the hell's going on? No, I don't know if there's time. No time. Sorry, no guest today. Sorry. Tomorrow? Yeah, I don't have time for the guest. But here's something I do have time for. As we move into another astrological level of cleanliness, there are many, many people that that listen to the stars, and I'm not talking about the celebrities. I am talking about the people, the horoscopes. What's going to happen today in my life? What shall it be like? Well, how about this?
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's take a look and see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, the stars say you'll soon find happiness and prosperity, but then I think I hear them giggling to each other, so maybe take that with a grain of organic fair trade salt. Pisces, your beautifully focused pursuit of meaning will soon lead you to a box of toaster pastries. Don't read too much into it, just enjoy some delicious toaster pastries. Aries, unfriend everyone on social media and start again. Choose better this time. Taurus, stop relying on WebMD and get that thing checked out already. People are starting to talk. Gemini, you will soon face a fork in your career path. It'll be the fast food industry or amateur bondage porn, so choose wisely. Cancer, when Mercury goes retrograde and Pluto is ascendant in the house of Cassiopeia, make yourself a sandwich. It will be amazing. Leo, call your mom soon for interesting news. And by mom, I mean the real one. In prison. Virgo, you will soon win a very prestigious award. But beware, your acceptance speech will be interrupted by Kanye West. Do us all a favor and punch him right in the sack, okay? douchebag. Libra, your lucky number is 26, and your lucky color is blue. Look for instances where they appear together, especially on Tuesdays. This could help cure you of your extreme gullibility. Scorpio, it's time to stop eating things on a dare. Capricorn, now that gay marriage has been legalized, perhaps it's time to take a really close look at exactly why you love musical theater so very much. Maybe? Think about it. This is Kip Starchild, and that is your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape for the month. Until next time, peace.
You really need to reassess what you listen to.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
It's funny, we were talking about Powerball. That was my nickname in high school. Yeah, when I used to date girls in high school, they used to call me my little Powerball. I never knew what that meant, but now I think I do. And I don't know if I like that too much, but it was a long time ago. I remember, I think the most exciting part of my childhood was not being able to drink, although in retrospect, it should have been. It was driving. It wasn't owning a car, because I drove my father's car for a long time. Boy, did I use that back seat. Whoa, baby, did I use that back seat. My father never knew what was going on in the back of his car. Ooh, and I never told him. But the freedom of driving a car. It was like I was a bird taking flight. That's exactly the analogy. Freedom. And I didn't have to walk everywhere or pedal my bicycle. All I had to do was sit in a car and lean my foot on the pedal. Another example of my extreme laziness. I remember driving around my neighborhood in my father's car when I first got my license and I could drive on my own, and I just drove around and I just felt that freedom and mobility. It meant so much. And I still like to drive. I've done many interviews on this show with companies that are promoting the driverless car. Someday, apparently, hopefully long after I've deceased myself, there will be cars with no people in them making deliveries, or people sitting in the cars and letting the computers drive them around. I don't think I ever could get used to that or want to be a part of it. I like to drive. It's fun. It's something to do. Why do I want to be a passenger in my own life? It's an example of control. You drive your own destiny. You can make a left or a right, but it's you making it, not the car. It's you. Car is nothing but a vehicle, and I'm not going to just sit in it and let it take me where it wants to take me. So no. Driverless car? No. Mindless human? Yes. Apparently, yes. All right. We are done for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show, but until then, be safe. I wish you peace. We'll be right back.